sometimes those kind of conversations with people you've already had a relationship with.
All right.
You can kind of see in their eyes that it kind of solidifies their thinking about you.
Yeah.
Because they've heard you talk. They've heard you give them answers because you have a relationship with them because you see them every day. And then when you keep answering that and you keep following it up with those same kind of answers that, you know, they're not going anywhere to get anything. It solidifies and they can at least hold, God can have them hold on to that.
If you
and God makes that grow, not you, me doing anything
right,
to them.
You must stay out of the mix.
Yeah.
You've got to completely, and you do that by being dead to yourself.
Yes.
You've got to die to yourself.
I don't stand there and wait for a receipt. I don't stand there and wait for anything about me. It's giving them the answer and then being quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know, what's the next thing we're talking about? Just don't keep pressing it. Just answer their legitimate question.
The Bible says to be still and know that I am God.
Right. Wow.
You see what I'm talking about?
See me work.
Yes. Yeah. Watch me work here.
Yes.
I'm the one to call you.
Yeah, you're working for me.
There it is.
You're working for me.
And then, Bob, wait a minute. Mark, Bob, when the person right in front of you grabs your hand, Bob, they said, oh, Bob, help me, man, help me. Now, why do we get frightened when they grab us and say, help me, and we don't know what to do? Because it was all about us. Mm-hmm. It was all about us, and that is what we were talking about last night. It's called ethical egoism.
Yes.
Your ego has taken over, and you think you're in charge, and everything that you're doing is to bring pleasure to yourself. Go ahead.
I've got a great one for you.
Okay.
A woman that we knew years ago that she just was Mrs. Witness. I witnessed to so-and-so. Witnessed to so-and-so. I led so-and-so to the Lord. I led so-and-so to the Lord.
Right.
You know, somebody would come by her door to sell Girl Scout cookies, and she would hold them there for an hour until they finally said, yes, I accept Jesus. Okay, can I go now? I saved another one.
Right.
Oh, the Lord is... Well, right. I mean, it wasn't me. It was the Lord working through me. And, oh, he just put 10 more people in my path today.
Right.
And this guy at the line at McDonald's and this one and that one.
Right.
And, oh, I'm so blessed that the Lord just works for me, through me so well and so often.
That's why they look at us as a bunch of fruitcakes walking
around
here.
About her.
Yes,
it's
ethical egoism. That's what it is, ethical egoism. Their ego, and they would never admit it.
Never.
They would never admit it that it is
just
to make.
Oh, of course, it's not me. No, it's the Lord working through me, and I'm so blessed that he works through me so well.
Right. As Christians, this is why when God calls us, he gives us humility. He humbles us. Mm. We see ourselves as nothing.
Yeah.
We are not a part of this. We are just slaves, doulases, the instrument. And we are to love. We are to love. I become sickened at the church because they have so much knowledge. They have their concordances. They know what it says in the Greek and the Hebrew, and there's absolutely no love. Man, I got to share this. One of the young men was saying, Pastor John, I want you to mentor me and disciple me. I said, all right, I'm going to tell you this right up front. If I do that, first thing that I'm going to tell you is stop having sex, because I know you're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you call yourself a Christian. I said, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Why should you be able to do it? Know what he said to me? I've been waiting on you to tell me. I said, man, I'm your professor. I can't be going around telling you not to do. I said, but if I disciple you as your pastor, because he asked me to be his pastor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I said, I could be that.
Right.
I said, but I'm telling you, you are not to fornicate. Mm-hmm. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
And he said, that is what I'm having problems with. I said, no, you won't have problems with it. If I'm your pastor, I'm going to tell you that. And I have expectations. Then I told him, now, if you don't stop, then you are going against the word of God.
Right.
And then you will become my enemy because I'm not changing my message for you.
Right.
See, that's the way Christianity works. But he's the one that sought me out. I didn't seek him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, brother? We don't have to seek people out.
No, we don't.
God is going to send them right to us.
They come right along.
And there we are looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to look like the nice little church people that you think they ought
all
to be.
All shapes and sizes and attitudes.
They will be people, Bob, that you work with every day out there chasing a dollar. Mm-hmm. And God is saying to you, show them what real reality is.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's just so wonderful. Let's move on down in chapter 10. I want to come to what happened, I think it's verse 34. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Wait a minute. What is Peter saying in this verse? Peter is saying that before this incident, he didn't even know how God is going to act in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's saying, ooh, a light just came on. I'm up in Joppa trying to vacation, and God has work for me to do now.
Mm-hmm.
See? And then he opened up his mouth. He says, but in every nation, the man who fears him. See, now we don't know who that man is. God is the one, like MacArthur said, is calling that man out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the individuals that God is going to use to call that man out.
Right.
It's not necessarily the pastors, because most of them have gone bottoms up.
Yeah.
It's going to take a sincere Christian that knows the word. And that's why when you read Acts chapter 10 and other verses or chapters like that, you can get a sense that God is speaking to you through that.
Now, what I see here, I see Peter as a Jew, and he's saying, I don't touch those unclean things.
Right.
I don't touch those common things,
right,
those unholy things. And then now all of a sudden, he's called to go, and God has put this Italian in his life.
Right.
And so he's seen of truth, now I perceive God's no respecter of persons. It's not just the Jews, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. So all of a sudden, it's not just the Jew. He's suddenly had his eyes open to where he realizes those who love God and fear God, no matter what their heritage is, God is going to accept those people. And originally, I, as a Jew, thinking that I was holding true to the law, and such a good Jew, now all of a sudden God has opened my eyes to realize I was calling those people unclean. They're not unclean, because if they fear God, God doesn't respect just the Jewish heritage, but all nations who will call on him.
And what I see out of that, Bob, if I really want to use it within the context of the culture that we're living in today, so God isn't just concerned about the people that had the big paying jobs and the big house and the paychecks coming in. So God would look out to the people that just lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that he wants me to pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking for me to find the people that got the money and got the
only
jobs.
Only the pretty people.
Yeah, only the pretty people working for General Motors, bringing in all the money and got the three cars and the IRAs and everything. Now God is calling me as a pastor to reach out to the struggling people that don't have an offering to give me. Anything like that. You see the way God does it. Now I understand.
Well, and that's what I want to see. Is I want to see now the mega churches, which were built on the money of those big executives with the big houses and the fancy cars.
Right.
And they kept extending themselves and overextending themselves in their church growth programs.
Right.
Building a bigger congregation, a bigger fellowship hall, and all of this stuff that's got big mortgages tied to it. I want to see what happens to those.
Well, if they don't do what Peter did, they are going to dissipate and just disappear because they are not going to survive.
Right.
They are not going to survive in this economy.
So was God moving in those places in the first place?
No, he was not.
If they suddenly crashed.
And God said that he would destroy it and bring it to naught. Mm-hmm. But now what he's doing is he's working in the hearts of his real children to tell them, now, I want to move in you, not the way some dude that wrote a book to tell you to go through 12 steps to build up a healthy church.
Right.
Not the way to seek prosperity in your life, as T.D. Jakes and Creflo have been lying to you. Not the way that Benny Hinn comes with this heresies of foolishness. People are poor. People ain't got no jobs. Their children have no food. They don't know what to do. They're confused. You open up your house now, Christian. Bring them in. Bring a Bible teacher that's going to give them the raw truth with raw courage that's not going to compromise, and watch me build my church up.
Right.
That's the way God does it. Mm-hmm. That's the way he always intended it to do it. Who's to say? Who was it? I think it was in the book of Esther when Mordecai said to his niece, "How do you know, Esther, that God did not have you here for such a time as this?" Mm-hmm. You see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You see, that is the final analysis once you look at what our Christian lives are about. The Bible are just examples, pictures for us to look back at and then to now see how we can applicationally make these things work in our lives mm-hmm. as our economy may flounder.
Yes.
Come on, the economy may flounder. We're there. We have this smile on our face. You know what? One of the most beautiful things, Bob, and I'm thinking about this. You're a businessman. You're a professional. And a lot of people in your businessman, they're making money. They got nice things. And they won't know what to do when they don't have this stuff.
Yep.
And they're going to break down. Their marriages are going to be tore up. Man, you and Liz, there it is. The Bible study right there ready mm-hmm. for the professionals.
Right, right.
You know, come on in here, man, and just hold hands and pray. Somebody in that group is going to break down. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't get on him and lay hands and talk about let it all go, mm-hmm. let it all go. That's not what God wants. All you supposed to do is to give love, mm-hmm. to give love. You break down and think about your life and then tell about how the Lord has lifted you up.
Right.
Now, then that man will be looking at you, seeing the way you live. But if you start beating Liz up next week, oof. Then the witness is shot.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Right.
You've got to live this out. This is why there are maturer Christians to teach the babies how to be. Mm-hmm. See, because it appears that God has me dealing with the babies, just making them strong.
Right.
And Bob, I'm telling you, professional people, when they come to the light, become the better Christians mm. because they had the world to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they find God, oh, it's a completely different thing altogether. Mm. We see Shuler's son being kicked out of the church. Fred Price, no longer pastoring Crenshaw Christian Center, gave it over to his son because he made his money, took his money to the bank, now turning that circus over to his son. We see all these shiftings taking place in ministry because what these clerics have done is...
How did Shuler Shun get kicked out?
Oh, because he was trying to preach the truth, and Robert didn't want him preaching the truth of the scriptures in a particular way. He wanted him to preach it like the way that he does.
Right.
And his son said, "Daddy, no, the Bible doesn't teach that."
Wow.
And they fired him.
Wow.
Split up the whole church. Yes. Because you know what? God may be working in Shuler Jr.'s heart.
Wow.
Saying that this mess is not going to work mm-hmm. when these folk ain't got no money.
When I heard that story, that's the first thing I heard, that he came to it. Dad, you're wrong.
Dad, you're wrong. Especially when the man shot himself in the head right in front of the pulpit.
He probably said, "Dad, you're wrong. We got to tell him the truth." And Dad said, "Get out.
Get out."
Mm.
See what I'm talking about? Man, this thing is going to blow up.
Wow.
It is going to blow up. And I'm glad that God didn't kill me because I can see how it ends up, man. This is a mess. This is a mess that the church has gotten themselves in. Now, you guys may be wondering, well, Bob, Mark, Pastor John, what was the conclusion of him going down there? Well, you can read some of the verses that talk about how Peter repeats what he said to Cornelius. Verses 40, 41, 43, and the prophet's witness. Now, John MacArthur agrees with Luke here because in verse 43, Bob, you can start reading there, and we see a part of Peter's sermon, and I like the way Peter is speaking with Cornelius because he is speaking about history. He is giving him a background about this God that has been trying to reach Cornelius. Peter, being a foreigner, knew that he had to define what was going on because Cornelius would thought that he was in a cult. So,
right.
Bob, start right there and share with the audience what Peter is saying. This is great.
So, verse 43, and it's talking about Jesus.
Yes.
"To him, Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them
I love it.
Which heard the word."
Yes.
"And they of the circumcision, the yeah. Jews."
Yeah, because they were there mumbling.
"Believed, were astonished."
Yes.
"As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So just again, as Peter was thinking that salvation was only for the Jews, God moved on his heart and gave him in a vision and showed him that, no, you don't call those people unclean. I am no respecter of persons. I will save any people from any nation.
Now look what I say.
Who I choose.
When you're in that Bible study and that man starts crying and holds your hand, that's the Holy Spirit falling.
Yes.
That's the way it happens.
Yes.
You see, it's not going to be when a whole bunch of people talking in tongues.
Right.
Like they did here in languages.
Right.
No, when the Holy Spirit comes, when you're ministering to God, people will begin to weep.
Yes.
And you must, don't tell them to stop. That's right. God working through them, getting all that stuff out of them.
Yes. Yeah.
See, letting the world go.
Yes.
Because the person has believed it. And this is one of the mistakes that we make if we're in the group. Here again, we become the ethical egoists because we think we've done it. And then we start talking like that. See, I told you, you have to get... No, you're ruining it. You're supposed to be weeping also because you know that the Holy Spirit has done something in that meeting. You see, man...
I would go as far as to say that we always ruin it. In other words...
Yeah. Yes.
In other words... He works in spite of us, not because of us.
Yeah.
Because we all have shortcomings. We all have, blemishes and warts and everything that anybody who knows us intimately is aware of. They're completely aware of our shortcomings. The closer we are to somebody, the more they know what our shortcomings are.
Yes.
And how far short we fall.
Right.
So there's no way with that understanding can we say, look what I did, because it's look what God did in spite of me.
Most of them don't know that when this Holy Spirit pouring out takes place, most people that are professing Christians don't know what's happening.
Yes.
They think that the person is going through emotional trauma because maybe they lost their home. No. During the Bible study, during the commitment time, the person, God is working with their mind.
Yes. Yes.
Talking with them, and they're talking back with God.
And people on the outside will look at that and say, oh, he just went completely nuts.
Right. And when God rids you of this world, it comes out through tears of repentance and sorrow and remorsefulness.
Yes.
And the best person to know that would be the wife of the man that's there. Mm-hmm. Because she would say, leave George alone. George is fine. It's like when I was at my wife's funeral before I got up to speak. I was weeping.
Yeah.
I was torn up. And my daughters kept saying, Daddy, can you speak? Mm-hmm. And when she touched me, I looked at her and said, yes. And then I went back to who I... You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
God has to take everyone through that.
Yes.
It is a normative process. You're right, Bob. We get in the way of God's hand.
Yeah, we do nothing